You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
And we're debating this hour whether or not the EFF is losing the plot from a political strategy point of view, or tactically, if not strategically. Are they fascists? Or is that kind of language both incendiary and inaccurate when some political analysts use it in their characterization of the EFF's praxis, their convictions, and the content of their ideological and policy and other ideas that they are advocating for? And I wonder how you see it. Give us a call throughout on 011-883-0702 in Johannesburg and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. Prince Mashele is very popular on this show. He's also a fantastic guest who's always extremely early, so we certainly believe him when he runs into traffic. He's going to join us in the next minute or three. He's a well-known South African political analyst, of course, and also advocate Dali Mpofu, who never runs away from debate, and he is here with us in the studio as well. Dali, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, me.
Have the Australians approached you yet?
I'm still waiting. Apparently, they can't pronounce my surname.
Which certainly won't help them very much. While we're waiting for Prince, I think a useful starting point, nevertheless, might be to ask you, if you had to articulate ideologically or otherwise, what attracted you to the EFF as a political home? Maybe we can start there, because I'll be very surprised if your answer is, I love fascism.
No, unfortunately not. You know, Eusebius, I actually always say to people that, you know, the ANC at its best is a so-called broad church. That's how it even defines itself. So if you look at it like that, you can safely say that somebody like me has always been on the left of the, even when I was within the ANC. From my associations with the workers' movement, I was actually a worker, a laborer, and a unionist. Associations with the SACP, actually in the underground, I was more associated with the SACP than the mainstream ANC, and so on. So I think a time came where it became ideologically impossible for me to remain in the ANC. And I can refer you to an article which I wrote in the City Press, which announced my departure. And I cited three main things then. One was the harassment of the Youth League leadership that I represented, as you know, because I knew then, I mean, maybe more than other people, because I had been involved in this thing, which was behind the scenes, that it had absolutely nothing to do with so-called disciplinary charges. It was just a purging, an ideological purging of people who were talking about land expropriation without compensation, nationalization, all those things. It was just that, that's all it was. The second thing that I objected to was Marikana, which had just happened the year before. And again, for me, that symbolized the most excessive shift towards a capitalist state that is uncaring, that is able to butcher workers, you know, for profit, as it were. And the third thing, which was very significant, was the adoption in Mangaung of the NDP by the ANC. Because I just thought that was complete madness. You know, government, the state, by its nature, it belongs to all of us, whether we are extreme right or extreme left, or and so on. And therefore, the state is expected to be kind of moderate, to moderate the policies. But the ruling party is supposed to come to be putting pressure on the state. And the state must say, okay, we accept this, but we will temper it here and there. Now, it's complete political madness for the state to adopt a policy called the NDP with all those moderations, and then the ruling party to adopt it instead of taking a more pressurizing kind of approach. So those were the three main things.
But if you take those three reasons, right, they are compelling proximate reasons for why you might leave and serve divorce papers on the ANC. It doesn't tell me the selection criteria for the next person that you court.
No, perfect. Well, except for the second reason, which had to do with the policies of land expropriation, as I've mentioned. So I therefore believed that I've always believed that if the ANC is going to deliver the ANC government was going to deliver or be brought into the towards the left, as it were. That's where the gap was politically. In other words, you needed to create a pressure point from the left flank, because in fairness, if I come to you there, Eusebius, and I keep on hitting you on the right arm, you are going to defend that right arm. You know what I mean? So the fact that the ANC was shifting more towards the right was because the only opposition was on the right. So obviously, sure, it had to move to the right and try and
coalesce around there. Yeah. Yeah.
And so what was needed in South Africa was an opposition that is on the left. And I mean, within 3 or 4 years, you can see the results of that. Because the ANC has realized that actually the bigger threat to it is not on the right, it's on the left.
And so how do you characterize EFF ideologically? Yeah. I mean, if we talk about the DA, some people might call it liberal. I quibble with that. Some DA politicians are liberal. They're certainly not on the left. They're sort of centrist or center-right in terms of economic policy, how they think about issues such as welfare, right? The ANC as well, despite its mantra of being a broad church, it is not that. Yeah. It is, at best, a middle-class party, not pro-poor.
Center-left at best, yeah.
At best, yeah. So put some meat on the bones, because when we do hear EFF leaders trying to characterize the EFF, we just hear complicated academic hyphenated language like Marxist, Fanonian, Malemanian, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, and that doesn't, that means nothing to the average Joe listening to us.
No, absolutely not. I mean, it's the simplest. You go, there's a founding manifesto of the EFF, which is available on the internet. It's very readable. Anybody can understand. It's a detailed document that goes into serious detail about everything from party funding to what have you, to the gender struggles. Everything is in there. If anybody could bother just to read that document, critique it if you want, but please read it first. And then, because all these people who are howling insults at us have actually never engaged with our policy platforms. And that's the unfortunate part. And as I say, it's something you can even look at our 2014 election manifesto or the 2016 election manifesto, or read the book The Coming Revolution, which we wrote. So these are available material. And as I say, anybody can differ with it and engage, and that's what it's all about. But the answer,
yeah, but you can't blame people, right? Because at the end of the day, those people who make observations, and I do think that political analysts and political journalists have got a higher professional responsibility to go to those sources and try and engage them as primary sources of your identity. They do. But the average voter, and this goes for the DA, UDM, ANC as well, they infer your identity from what we observe publicly.
No, absolutely.
And for the average voter, the EFF's raison d'etre seemed to have been Jacob Zuma, which is why it appears to so many people who are otherwise sympathetic to the EFF, as if you are in a bit of an existential crisis the morning after Zuma's exit.
No, but that's an imaginary situation. Because, as I say, one doesn't have to be a political analyst or a genius to read seven. I mean, it takes you 3 minutes to read the seven cardinal pillars of the EFF. And if you can detect anything to do with Jacob Zuma there, except for the last pillar, which deals with anti-corruption, then good luck to you. There's absolutely, it's got that, whether it's Jacob Zuma or Eusebius Makeza or whatever.
No, but that wasn't my question. Yeah. What I'm suggesting is that it is democracy. By what dominates their speech acts in public, in parliament, in the political arena. Don't send us to your website.
No.
And if we stick to the observable facts, what have we seen this year from you guys? Fighting mannequins and journalists.
Yeah, you see, let me take one step back. Your differentiation between experts and independent analysts and the ordinary person is perfect. Actually, it's one of the reasons I'm here. Because, you see, from an average person like you and me, I don't care. People can insult us and say, hey, you are this, you are that, you are, antichrist. It's fine. But from somebody who professes to be an expert or an academic, then I am entitled to expect more analysis, proper use of concepts. Nobody can just throw things like you are a fascist. What is fascism? Well, you know, I can ask that question. I won't ask that. If somebody from the taxi rank says I'm a fascist, well, that's fine. That's part of political banter. So there is that crucial distinction. Now, let's come to your example. I say to people, you know, you have this hullabaloo about the H&M thing, as an example. Again, if somebody looks at something on Twitter or whatever, is entitled to make noise about it. But you, or an expert, must understand one thing. We went to, say, 15 H&M stores. 15, say, 10 to 15. I don't know the exact number. Yeah. Only in one instance, one, did, and I think it was here in Sandton or somewhere, did somebody throw clothes on the floor and mannequins. But what do you do? No, the EFF has gone and attacked every H&M store and is now decided, set in some room and took out a strategy that we're going to be to have violence. I mean, it's absolutely.
But the leadership defended those actions.
No.
So the quantity for me was actually, you're right, and I agree with you on the number of instances.
No, but let me just
I grant you that. I just want you to be very clear what I am targeting in the critical conversation on that point.
Mm.
And I've heard the rebuttal point that actually the vast majority, Cesar Mpofu Walsh makes a similar point, the vast majority of actual protests were peaceful. So there's disproportionate focus on the optics around one particular store. I get that. I accept that. But here's the thing.
All I'm saying
when stuff like CBS. That happens, when stuff like that happens, Advocate Mpofu, why is it that your leadership, including your spokesperson and even the commanding chief, become so recalcitrant? They don't cede any ground. And that comes across as you are no longer willing to even accept that some of your members in your name, even if it's statistically a minority of circumstances, insignificant, do things that clearly are unacceptable. Because when they go on Twitter and they defend it as, no, it didn't come from the top, but at any rate, we're here, we can defend it. You want to have a debate?
No, but we make a different point. I defend it myself because I say, firstly, it's infantile to take something that is statistically insignificant and make it the norm. I mean, that's just crazy. But put that aside. I then say, it's even more crazy to then ignore the racism that the action was against. And that racism is in itself violence. That is now at a particular conceptual level. So if I say to you, look, the reaction of these people, condemn it or whatever you like, but don't take it out of context of the fact that they were fighting a violent system called racism. So if a Nelson Mandela is entitled to say this violence of apartheid now requires the formation of an Umkhonto weSizwe and violence and so on, then surely somebody who is angry, if I said in one of the shows, if you call me a kafir, I'm going to slap your face. You know, so and that doesn't mean that now suddenly Dalimpofu is a violent person. But if you do that because of the history, because of all the things that go with it, I might, by the time I've slapped your face, I might say, oh, God, I shouldn't have slapped you.
But you see, the kafir example is too easy because kafir.
No. But racism is racism. It's not a kafir example. Racism is racism.
You're not even giving me a chance to deconstruct. I'm telling you where I'm going with my deconstruction. You have to listen to the critique before you know whether you are persuaded.
Go for it.
The kafir example is easy in the following sense. For me, the word kafir is a sort of one strike and you're a racist. But then there are.
Monkey is better.
Monkey is definitely less bad than kafir. There's no doubt in my mind. Well, both are unacceptable.
Exactly.
But there are degrees to this thing. There's a difference between, if I say to you, Ish, Eusebius, or someone says that to me, kafir, I probably will become violent.
Yeah.
But if someone says to me, dude, you really need to tuck in that mkaba, it'd be getting out of hand. Would the same level of violence? So it wouldn't.
Let's not.
So that's no, but
go
it matters.
With the example. The point of the matter is, I'm saying, yeah.
You accuse academics and some analysts, and I know you don't me, that's why you granted me this discussion, of not engaging you analytically, but now you can't handle the analytic detail.
No, why?
Because here's
handle it simply because I'm answering you.
No, because you're disrupting me when I don't disrupt you.
Okay.
Here's why this is uncomfortable for you, because when you say, I'm not talking on my own, I'm responding to the content of what you said.
Right.
You said, when Madiba decides to use violence. Now, that's a very important qualifier, because when the ANC took up arms, it did not do so lightly and as a tactic or first resort in the fight against apartheid.
Yeah.
So the analogy with Madiba is at best useful, but it's not obviously one that justifies fighting mannequins. Can you explain to us the evolution in your strategies from constitutionalism to the point where you say, as a last resort, violence is morally defensible? The ANC Youth League, at the point at which it challenged its mother body in the annals of ANC history, did not take the decisions as glibly as you make it out to be.
No. Okay. Firstly, don't take the examples literally. I mean, otherwise we'll sit here and say, okay, 1961, this is what happened with Mkhonto Sism. That's a useless debate. All I'm saying to you is, look at the principle of what I'm saying. Firstly, we've never said violence is an acceptable method. We've never said that.
You're saying I said that on the show. I can play you back the audio.
What we say, this is what we say. If at a particular, I've said this also to you on this show. There are three pillars of how the EFF seeks to achieve change in South Africa at the current juncture. One is through legislative engagement in parliament, which we do robustly. Everybody knows about that. The second one is by using the institutions of democracy, such as the courts, which we have used very effectively to get money back from Kandla, Tuli's report to be released, and all that goes with it. The third one is engaging with mass demonstrations on the streets, and which we've also done. We've pulled probably one of the biggest demonstrations and marches in post-apartheid South Africa towards the stock exchange, and the combination of those things. Now, if it so happens, let's say it didn't happen now, but let's say in the march to the JSE, as we were coming here, somebody broke a window of a shop. It's the analyst noise is going to be, we told you the EFF is a fascist thing and so on. And ignore, that's sure. All I'm saying to you. And ignore, say what you've just said. They've now decided that violence is the only way to march to the stock exchange. That's ridiculous. Every organization, whether it's the DA or the ANC, I'm sure have had marches or demonstrations that have gone out of way. But there is no, we are the biggest believers in the fact that it might take us 20 years, it must take us 100 years. But until the day that we convince South Africans by going to their homes, by calling rallies and marching and all that, that ours is the only solution to the problems of South Africa. Until that day comes, that we will remain in opposition and fight in opposition. We have never, fascism means that what you do is that people are not entitled to leave if they differ with you.
Okay, let's read it.
So you don't expect that kind of careless throwaway phraseology.
I don't believe in that particular one. Prince does, and is your husband Prince?
Good.
Okay.
Good. Thanks. And Twitter's already heated up just with look, Dali and I like each other, by the way. So
we do.
So I don't know why. This is a problem with Twitter, and I think this is also partly the problem with EFF, thinking that black Twitter is the electorate. Your Twitter followers are very mad that I'm not allowing you to speak. The advocate is getting plenty of chance to speak.
It's fine. It's robust. It's robust. What we are all about.
Yeah. That's why Dali and I love engaging. One thing I agree with Dali, and I'm going to not interrupt you so you can make the case. Welcome, by the way, Prince.
Thanks. I've been trapped in traffic for 2 hours.
I know you have. You're always early whenever you come on the show, so we believe you.
No, we put some fighters to stop the traffic there.
Where I agree with Dali, and I do not agree with you, and I do not agree with Karima Brown, and I definitely do not agree with Adam Abib on this point, is that EFF can accurately, in political ideology terms, which you are passionate about in terms of political theory, that EFF can be characterized as fascist or even proto-fascist.
You see, I've been listening in the car in my frustration. One of the things that frustrated me with you, Eusebius, in particular, is that you don't refer to the EFF constitution. And Dali's right, by the way, to accuse many of taking on the EFF without reading their founding documents. At least I can count myself. I'm not one of those.
I didn't say I didn't read their constitution.
No, but you should have defended
it. Because I defended the right of the public and, by the way, commentators. I didn't say that. A, to be wrong, but also to make observations about the speech acts that are performed in public. But anyway.
There's a point about the constitution and violence.
No, but hold on.
Fascism.
I want you to cut to the chase. Sure. Is EFS fascist?
It is.
Why?
One, the beginning should be what is fascism? Because. Yeah. You can't say it's EFF fascist and then you start to fight. Define what is fascism.
Good.
You know, how does it apply to the EFF? That should be the starting point. Firstly, I know we don't have time. Fascism is a European phenomenon. The height of it was in Italy and in Germany.
Yeah.
The champions of fascism was Mussolini and Hitler. What was the content of fascism? In Germany, it was a national socialist ideology in Germany, right? Partly on the left, partly on the right. Confused because you cannot mix Marxism and nationalism. That is unscientific. Now, does that apply to the EFF? The EFF, I read the constitution even last night, is a national socialist party. Where is the EFF's nationalism? And they're very clear about it. They're a black nationalist party. They defend the interests of black people, right? The black nation, the blood of the black nation. Number two, they are a socialist party. When you combine black nationalism and socialism, what do you get? You get the core of Hitler's national socialism, number one. Number two, fascism believes in violence or places violence as a redemptive tool for the nation. Let me tell you, in their constitution, the EFF, which I read last night again, they seek to take power by whatever means possible. They don't say they seek to take power through a constitutional or through a vote. This is in the EFF constitution. I'm not manufacturing it. Number three, fascism actually operates through a dictatorial leader, a la Hitler, a la Mussolini. If you look at the conduct of that leader at the top, that leader espouses violence and incites violence. Julius Malema, I think, comes very close to those characters. So I have actually used three things.
Daddy, you are uncharacteristically calm, but you were jumping down my throat. I mean, I'm not vested in what Prince is saying, and I'm feeling my blood Prince.
Well, I'm
right.
Not calm, I don't want to interrupt you.
I have Mein Kampf, by the way, in my hand. I can quote from page 96.
No, let me assist you before.
Did you bring Mein Kampf in?
Yes, I did.
No, look, fortunately, well, firstly, I must congratulate
you. Hold on, Daddy, just before you respond, I just wanted to interpretive clarification.
Okay, sure,
when you say that Julius Malema comes close, are you reining yourself in? Is he Hitler incarnate? Because coming close sounds to me like saying I'm a little bit pregnant.
No, if a guy... No, he's very calm. He comes close to him. This is the guy who deploys the language of slitting people's throats.
Okay,
these are his words.
I mean, this is absolute nonsense.
This is the guy...
Let me just... we talk now?
Sure, yeah. All right.
Hold up, Mein Kampf there while Dali is speaking.
Yeah.
He's put it away.
Yeah. No, look, let me just start with that example. Julius Malema says, we want to cut the throat of whiteness and racism. And Prince Mashele, an academic, comes and say he wants to cut the throat of people. I mean, really, really, you know. If you don't understand metaphorical speech and at that simplistic level, then what am I doing here? The next point is that he talks about was espoused by people such as Mussolini. Now, fascism, one of the key elements of fascism, there are three elements of fascism. One of them is that, as I said, if you differ with the state or the dictator, then you are not fit to live. In other words, you must die. Now, the EFF is a party which has dedicated itself to taking power through the vote. We go up and down and lose our shoes going door to door to convince people to vote for us. Some do, some don't. Then we come again for the next election. That will carry on for the next 50 years or so. What resemblance is that to people who would like to force you at gunpoint, Eusebius, to say you must support us. I mean, it's absolute nonsense. And then he talks about violence as a redemptive tool. Where? Where? Just give me where it is that the EFF in the past 4 years of its existence has attacked with, said, okay, let's go to the union buildings, to hell with this thing of voting and going to Cape Town, flying up and down. Let's just go to Mahlamba Ndlovu and attack there and take over power.
Okay.
Really, man? Okay. I mean,
let's take a quick break there because my news team wants to come in, but that's a fair question from Dahlia. I'm going to ask Prince to refer.
I don't believe this.
You know, it's better to show than to describe. Yes. I want you to show me textually, being the nerd that you are, where it is in the constitution that you find the stuff that is consistent with Mein Kampf. 7:30.
Eusebius Makaiser on 702. And Cape Talk.
Okay, we're debating whether EFF is fascist, whether they've lost the plot or not. I don't know. I have difficulty with this debate. Can I tell you what it is, even though it is in part of my own making, Prince? Because you are an important voice in our country's public debate. Advocate Dahlia Mpofu is exceptionally busy as someone who wears many different hats in our society. And I hope that people, even the ones who don't like me at least, respect that I do some decent moderation of key debates. But can we really have a discussion about whether there's an analogy to be drawn between Nazism, Mussolini's Italy, and the content of EFF politics? I mean, at that point, a debate clearly has itself lost the plot.
No, it hasn't. You see, the problem that you think that it has lost the plot is because you start in the end. You don't start in the beginning. We are having a nice discussion with Dahlia off air. Now, when you ask the question, is so-and-so a Christian? What do? You look at what Christians did during the crusade, murdering people, in order to answer the question, or do you go to the Bible? The beginning is not the murdering act. By the way, by the time they murdered in the crusade, the Bible was already there. So I start in the beginning. That's why you don't get it. I am going to the text. I'm saying, if we say we're debating fascism, I go to the guy who wrote stuff about it, who is Hitler.
So you brought Mein Kampf. Exactly. You made Dahlia read it.
So
why did you make Dahlia read it?
No, wait. Don't be excited. Yes, I did bring it. Because there is text here that defines what is fascism. So if you don't want us to go to the definition, then there's no debate. So I am saying, and by the way, Dahl, to respond to the points he made, right, about violence and all of this stuff, you refuse to go back to the constitution and to the constitution of the EFF, and that's exactly what he was doing as I was listening in the car. You are saying, Mbuyiseni Ndlozi said, no, this is what we are saying. He must say here, the EFF constitution doesn't say seek to acquire power by all means possible.
Yeah, but now, what does that mean?
Wait.
What does that mean? That means violence.
I listened as was speaking.
No, please.
Right? No, I listened as was speaking.
But
you must listen.
People.
No. Listen. Otherwise, we're not going to have a debate. So, here is a constitution that spells how a party wants to acquire power, right? Before they kill anyone, maybe they will kill in future, I don't know. You must say they have written it in their constitution that they can actually use violence to acquire power. True or not? True. Because there's text. You can't dispute it.
Advocate
Mpofu?
No, let me assist you. What is meant by acquiring power by any means necessary?
Mm.
Okay. Maybe you were stuck in traffic. You didn't hear properly.
Yeah.
This is what I said to Eusebius before you came here. By any means necessary means the following. Right now, because there is democratic space, which was fought for which people died, there is no need to use violence to acquire political power. Okay? Do you understand that? And hence, the EFF is using three tools. The courts, the parliament, and the streets.
Mm.
All non-violent means, okay? Should it happen, for argument's sake, as it happened in 1961, that a government closes that democratic space, kills people like me, arrests them, banish them, not allow them to speak, as it happened here and in many other places, then the people of South Africa might decide otherwise. That is unlikely to happen. It's so remote that you can actually take it out of your head right now, okay? Mm. But from a theoretical point of view, what we want is freedom, What we want is our land back. And whatever that land was acquired through violence, through apartheid and various means. There was nobody who was more peaceful than your Oliver Tambos and Mandelas and so on. But when the point came for them to say, we will fight this evil system by any means necessary, then they did that. Do you understand?
And ideologically? Let's go to your ideology, which is in your constitution.
No, but first, do you understand the by any means necessary?
I dispute it.
You can't dispute it, but you understand it.
Hold on one second.
Answer the question.
I dispute it.
But do you understand it?
African prophet, just hold on one second
before you ask me that question.
Good. Okay, and as long as you understand
it. Okay, just hold on there. As Advocate Mpofu was explaining the remote possibility of violence and the circumstances under which it would be a practical option, but it's not a live option in the status quo. What about that do you find still consistent with factual?
Let me finish. Okay, no, it's fine. Can I just make one example?
No, please ask me
to speak.
So that you answer to everything. Just for example, the people...
I'll speak at his mercy now.
Carry on. If you want to speak without context.
Let me ask a question.
No, carry on.
I know, but don't be a baby about it. I mean, this is just a hurly-burly of discussion. Advocate Mpofu has outlined how... there is a toolkit of different options between legal activism, constitutional processes within the state, and then bottom-up processes where you march, for example. Mm. That, to me, seems like a very coherent defense of where, if at all, violence may enter EFF politics as a live option. Now, can you respond in a sophisticated manner to that?
Yeah, it's okay. In the first place... a discussion is not about winning or losing. It's about finding each other.
Okay, leave the adjudication.
Now,
just get into
here's the point. The rest of the stuff that he said, they fall within the realm of possibilities of that definition. I will not dispute it. Because I was not there when they said and defined this thing. So I accept that part. Hmm. But that definition does not exclude violence. He has not made a point that suggests that that definition excludes violence.
No,
by the
pacifist.
Way, no, but should I speak or not?
No, but that's not the point, though.
Can I move? I'm making a point.
Prince, don't be petulant about this. The question is very simple. Do you, even as Prince, as an individual citizen, do you think that violence should a priori be excluded in any political strategy of any political party in a democracy?
Yes, in a democracy.
Do you think so?
Democracy, yes. Yes, of course, fundamentally.
Okay.
Yeah, because democracy provides a means of dispute resolution.
Sure.
If it doesn't provide such a means, therefore it's not a democracy.
Okay.
But let me move on to make this point. Right. So in their definition, violence is not excluded.
Yes.
Number two, by the way, and I stick to the Bible, the constitution of the EFF, their ideology. He has said nothing about it being a national socialist party. It's there in their constitution, right?
Okay.
Can I finish? Can I finish?
He's going to say nothing.
He will respond.
All right.
Let me finish.
Yes.
So that he responds to a point I've made. Relax, Dan. Now, here's the thing about national socialism. Is that the ideology of the fascists or not? It is here in Mein Kampf. Now, on what basis must I conclude that the EFF is not a fascist organization if their ideological character is the same as that of fascism?
Okay. Now, I've got a caller on the line who also wants to get in on the mix. I don't know whether both of you have your headphones on there. Tali, just put it on for me.
Okay.
David, you've been extremely patient. You've got a question for Advocate Mpofu that is very similar to what we've just presently heard from Prince, but in a slightly different manner. What do you want to ask?
Okay, thank you. My question to the advocate and the academic there is, I understand the dissection of expansion of Nazism and this fascism. They are fighting as well as expansion of Emperor Hirohito of Japan. That the ideology, the similarities, they have never dissected them though. But my question is on the EFF side. If I were a neutral person, if looking for a real home, a political home, and here's a party associated with fascism, what way, despite saying the constitution, because it's different to say constitution and what I can do is, politicians are always dodgy. They change. What they say is not what they do. All of them. What I'm trying to say is, what can EFF say? We are doing this It can be drawn from our constitution that we are like this because we do this. Because what they are saying and doing is totally in total contrast.
Okay, good question. Okay. Thank you, David. We'll take a second question. This one is for you in turn, Prince. Then we'll take a break, and then we'll give each of our two interlocutors a chance to respond to David and Tabiso, respectively. Tabiso, you want to engage Prince.
Yeah, you see, I mean, look at liberation movements all over the country, all over the world. They mobilize their own people according to their understanding of oppression. And what Prince does not tell us is that even Bismarck mobilized German people for the unification of Germans in the same country where he called Hitler. Even Cavour mobilized the Italian people, you know, for the unification of Italy. Does that make them fascists? I don't agree with him. I think with due respect, the Prince is lost, you know. Just thank you.
Okay, we'll take a break there, then we'll give each of them a chance to respond to your respective questions.
Eusebius McKaiser on your number one news and talk station.
I usually brag about having the best listeners in radio, but today, actually, even if you had to diss me, I'm going to say that most of your tweets are not on point, man. You're either dissing Prince or the Advocate instead of getting into the substantive debate. But the two calls we had before the break were excellent. The first asked one around ideological clarity, Advocate.
Okay, let me start by just quickly responding to what Prince was saying. Prince is disingenuous in his analysis. I've just given him an analysis, and both he and I agree that where there's democratic space, violence should be excluded. But what's the difference between what I just said to him and that? Secondly, he comes with this thing about nationalism.
National socialism.
Yeah, national socialism. Yes. Or a national socialist. Now, tell me if you know of a single political party in the world, whether it's in Britain or America or whatever, that does not... when it is campaigning, for example, invoke national fervor, Americanism, British, what, Italianism, and so on. That does not mean, it means all political parties in the world are fascist,
which was Tabiso's point.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask Prince to respond to Tabiso. But can you respond directly? Because what some people say is that they find it very difficult to be able to give a accurate and pithy summary of your ideological position.
Okay, let me help you with that. Our ideological position is very simple. We believe that the solution to South Africa's problems, historical problems, economically speaking in particular, can only be resolved by invoking the mechanism of the state, a democratically elected state that uses its power to make a change. Other people, for example, the DA, believe that that same result can be achieved by using the market. Fine. So we can sit here, I can sit here and debate with those people. The ANC believes in something in between called the developmental state, but we can talk about that on another day. Now, I have reason to say that, look, there is no way, Eusebius, with the best will in the world, that you are going to reverse the inherent inequalities in South Africa, which were created by state-sponsored violence and legislation and so on over centuries by simply the invisible hand of Adam Smith. You need a state that is capable, that is going to intervene, that is going to educate people, and so on and so on. As I say, I can understand someone else saying, no, you are wrong, darling. All you need to do is to grow the economy. Other people will be rich, and then it will trickle down, blah, blah, blah. I can have a debate at that level, not this kind of thing.
Sure.
Yeah. So to answer David very specifically, he's quite right. Forget about all these definitions. What does the EFF do? Very good question. Now, I say to him, in four years, how many people has the EFF killed according to its fascist ideology and all that? And how many people has it silenced who differ with it and so on and so on? And then I go to David's question and I say, this is what we've done. We've refused to be ruled by a corrupt person called Jacob Zuma, for example, and his cronies. Number two, we have gone to court to have to score. I won't list them. Very important interventions in this democracy, and define this democracy and infuse life actually into our constitution.
The first parliament.
Yeah, absolutely. We have marched to institutions like the JSE to in line with our belief that the capitalist system is at the core of our problems. Right or wrong, you might believe or not believe it. We have called for free education. We asked for people to, and we've called for land expropriation. We've moved the ANC from a position where they were doing absolutely nothing about land for 25 years.
Actively opposing it.
Yeah. In fact, actively opposing it and telling us that investors are going to run to OR Tambo the day that pronouncement is made. That is political work that we've done painstakingly by calling rallies. That's what we do. Not some label that somebody puts us. And that's the stuff we've done for the past 4 years. Mm. And we're going to continue to do to shift the ideological center and the debate in the country to those.
Yeah. Prince, I want to revive Tabiso's question specifically. Sure. There are invocations of group identities that are acceptable and not a threat to the core of democratic contestation. And then there are invocations that truly are fascist and dangerous for all of us.
Sure.
What for you is the difference, and why does the EFF fall into the bad side of those two possible ways of invoking it?
Here's the thing, by the way. I have absolutely no problem with nationalism. And you see, I don't know what Tabiso was listening to. I didn't critique nationalism. Said the ideological character of the EFF is national socialism, which is different from nationalism. Mm. So let's park that.
No, we can't.
Hold on.
Let me
proceed.
Prince, I'm still moderating this discussion. Okay. We can't park it because you cannot assume that people share your definitions. No. Can you, in simple English, so that Tabiso in Soweto understands you, tell us what you mean by national socialism?
National socialism as it was defined and implemented by Hitler, right? He identified a group that he defined as a nation, the Aryan group in Germany. That was the nation. Socialism was an instrument through which that group could take over the wealth of Germany and appropriate it at the exclusion of the rest. So if you are not Aryan, right, you were not entitled to the national wealth according to his definition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here comes the EFF.
Yeah.
And their constitution. We must not deviate from their constitution. They define the nation, according to them, as black.
Okay.
They are very clear about it.
Okay.
Yeah, in their constitution. Right?
Mm.
He is moderating what they want to do. I've read the constitution. They are clearly, they want socialism. They are very clear about it.
Mm.
The black nation want socialism. What do they want to do with socialism? They want to nationalize banks, mines, and every strategic areas of the economy. That's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what Dali said earlier on. So once they've taken over that, just like the Germans wanted to do, the Aryans, wanting to use the state as an instrument to appropriate the wealth. Right?
Gotcha, I got you.
Now you tell me substantively what's the difference between the EFF and fascism.
Excellent question.
It's a very good question.
Is your party a party for black, for phenotypically black South Africans?
No. Prince, I mean, on that definition of his, then the ANC is a fascist organization. Because the ANC goes further. It says the motive force in society is black and in particular African. But that is because it's a historical fact, Prince. It's got nothing to do with Mussolini or Mein Kampf, as the book that you have. It is because in this particular country, the economic inequalities were created by invoking racism, Okay. And therefore, that is why we talk about, you can't address the inequalities without dealing with the national question in that context. But the broader issue is not about black and white.
I only have 2 minutes left. Yeah. I wonder whether I can play Desmond Tutu.
Just a minute.
If we go with a contextual interpretation of certain kinds of political language, we know that the ANC is actually, at least in its history, mostly non-racial, but it still prioritizes the fate of the black person, right? No one turns around and say Joe Slovo can't be a member. Mm. So I'm wondering whether, without being too literal about the textual analysis that you've offered, and I take that on board, surely what Dali is saying now is not disingenuous, that in the historical context, that language shouldn't be seen as akin to the Aryan race.
Okay. He doesn't understand.
I'll give you 1 minute. And
he doesn't understand the ANC. The ANC says they seek to construct a national democratic society, not what Dali is saying.
Okay.
In a conception of the ANC, such a national democratic society is inclusive. It includes blacks, coloureds, Indians, and whites. It's not what Dali is saying. Now, I know, let me finish.
I'll give you a full minute, Dali.
Relax, Dali. I relax when you speak. Now, here is the thing. Statistics South Africa tell us, and I knew this, that a vast majority of black people, over 50%, are poor. To say that it is not to be national socialistic in the context of Hitler, right? So we should say black people are poor and we must address black poverty, right? But that's not the conception that is in the EFF's constitution. And I think Dali is confused because he tries to moderate what is written. Okay. I have read what is written.
Yeah, I get you. Dali, I'll give you a full minute here.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, Prince, if there's any confusion, really, it's on his part. Firstly, the EFF, if he really read, maybe he shouldn't have read it at night. Then he would have seen that the EFF talks about a non-racial South Africa. So I don't know where this exclusivity comes from. Let's take a concrete example, ECBS.
Which clause is that?
Hold on, Prince, hold on.
Let's take a concrete example on the land question. According to what Prince is saying, the EFF, therefore, is saying, take the land from the white people and give it to the black people. But that's not what the EFF is saying. The EFF says the land must be shared by all South Africans, black and white.
So EFF doesn't have a problem with white people having land?
No, absolutely. The black and white, equitably, and not according to the previous skewed patterns. Nobody is saying these ridiculous things, chase the whites to the sea and the black nation is supreme. Mm. That's absolute nonsense. We have said that that all South Africans, just in the same as in the gender struggle, we say that patriarchy denies women a particular place. And so when we fight inequality, we fight it in all its dimensions, racially based, gender and class. And that's what we talk about.
Okay.
This mumbo-jumbo that Prince read at midnight, I don't know where he gets it from. He must go and reread where he gets it from. He must go and reread the manifesto and reread what we say about the place of white people in South Africa. Okay. And let me just say this in closing. You will remember this one day, Eusebius. The only way we will ever have peace and proper non-racial South Africa in this country is by white people and everyone else accepting that we have to go through the bitter passage of, for example, land redistribution and so on. Then we can live harmoniously. That's the only thing that the EFF...
I agree with that part, by the way.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, at least we ended on a good note.
Look, I don't know. I think on this one, I'm going to have to end in the words of Dennis Davis. Judge for yourself.